going to talk a little bit about why Washington has the most expensive costs for restaurant customers in the mainland 48 states. Going to bring on guests from the Washington Hospitality Association, their president, Anthony Antone. And Anthony, thank you for coming on The Morning Ride to talk about some of the latest information the Washington Hospitality Association has been able to compile on this for customers.
So appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to talking about this.
Yeah. The Washington Hospitality Association is a restaurant industry business, so they represent industry business owners. They try and remind legislators and politicians in Olympia, the state legislature, the governor's office about, hey, if you impose this rule, regulation, this tax, this is what it's going to mean for a restaurant owner, large or small, independent or, you know, chain owned or something like that. So it helps to try and put things in perspective, but it also tries to remind the powers that be in the Olympia legislature and the halls of power in Olympia, if you create these sorts of regulations, if you increase taxes, how this is going to impact customers as well as business owners. And that's what you've ended up compiling in this new report. It's called The Cost of Dining 2025. Cost of Dining Report, the lower 48 states and the top U.S. cities, just compiled by the Washington Hospitality Association. Washington emerged as those mainland 48 states most expensive for restaurant customers. So what criteria went into this report by the Washington Hospitality Association that determined Washington's the most expensive amongst the 48 contiguous states?
Yeah, we were getting a lot of anxiety and concerns from operators about how they're having to raise their prices, their concerns. We were really getting away from affordable restaurants in Washington. And we started looking at, well, how does this compare to other states? And to do that, we really had to isolate away from menu type, service type, regional preferences, and just get to the cost of business. And chain restaurants give us this great chance to do it because that same chain restaurant is the same chain supply, buying power, marketing requirements, service requirements, whether you're in the South or in the Northeast or in California or up here. And so it's able to eliminate a lot of the other factors, and we can just look at price. And so we took the 20 chains who were in almost all the states and in most of the major 20 cities, and took their most popular entrees and just lined them up against each other and found out just where did we stand. And honestly, we knew Washington was going to be high, but we were all really surprised to see us number one. And it really points out how expensive we've made Washington to families and diners.
Yeah. The report seems to indicate that states like Minnesota or South Dakota are right at the national average. On the low end, about 6% below the national average would be, say, Kansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana. And then, of course, on the high end, Washington at 13.6% higher than the national average. California, 13.3%. Oregon, 9.1% higher than the national average. So for the state of Washington.
The West Coast.
Yeah, obviously this has been the calling card of California, Oregon, Washington about, hey, we need to drive up the minimum wage in this state. And I know that the Washington legislature, Democratic majority in the Washington legislature the last handful of sessions, have ended up applying taxes, rules, regulations onto businesses, and restaurants are not immune from any of this. Wasn't there a bill in the last legislative session that drove up, wasn't it the price of liquor licenses for restaurants?
Yeah, and when we saw a couple of our great Northwest institutions go under and cite some of those new tax laws as part of the reason in the area. And so all these tax increases, well, they just passed some of the largest tax increases in our state's history in this past legislative session. All these laws that we've passed in the year just keep adding up. And when you combine our report this year with a report that came out last year on the national average net profit margins for Washington, where Washington came out 60% less profitable, the average profit margin in a restaurant's only 1.5%. And so we're charging more in Washington to try to survive, and yet our margins are lower than just about anywhere else in the country, and in the lowest in the 25 years that I've worked for the industry and the association.
Does the Washington Hospitality Association track gross revenues for businesses, or some of the, I shouldn't say businesses, but for restaurants, bar and grills, et cetera? Do you track any of those like on a location-to-location basis so that you can see, hey, look, 2024, we were down, people weren't eating out as much, say, in 2023 or 2022. Do you have any sort of data that compares those things?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of data, and when we look at gross sales, what we see is that gross sales are up, but not up with inflation. And so we just kind of developed our dashboard for how the different regions of Washington are performing. No surprise, Seattle is struggling and the hardest. But yes, revenue is up, but it is not keeping up with inflation, which is why margins are shrinking, and which is why guest counts are down.
Yeah, and I think that's something that I can attest to. I think about going out to eat all the time. I drive home around the lunch hour and oftentimes think, oh yeah, I should stop here or there or pick up something to eat on the way home and get a bite out to eat for lunch. And most of the time I end up reminding myself, it's like, that's pretty expensive. I can probably just get a frozen pizza and pop in a frozen pizza at the house or make a sandwich or make my own food at the house. And more often than not, that's what I end up doing. As much as I might crave wanting to go out and getting something quick and have somebody else cook for me, that's my main criteria at the end of the self-conversation that I have is like, I'll save my money. I'll end up making something on my own at the house or hitting the grocery store and taking something back to the house.
Well, of course, the position I'm sitting in, I'm going to urge you to find that great fob place,
right?
The great rib place.
Yeah.
And continue to support small business.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think your analogy is fair. My wife and I and son went out to a dinner right before my son went to college. And I was looking at the bill, and it was $113. And I'm like, okay, well,
that's
if I was in just about any other state, it'd be $100. Mm-hmm. And if families do that once or twice a week, that starts really adding up. And so people say, well, what does 13% mean? Well, 13% more on 3-4 times a week, 52 weeks a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a lot of families, you're talking that, we have really made it difficult to eat out and enjoy a great quality of life.
And one of the other factors for the state of Washington that's a little bit unique is this Climate Commitment Act scenario that we have, where the state of Washington decided that they needed to tax carbon fuel. And if the carbon fuel auction permit scheme ends up increasing the price of gasoline and diesel at the pump, now every restaurant that needs to have the food and the supplies trucked to their restaurant, they're probably facing increasing costs for that, because the transportation trucking outfit and the supplier, the wholesaler, is going to end up having to pass those costs, extra costs for gasoline and fuel, onto the restaurant owner. And sooner or later, the restaurant owner is going to have to do the same thing and pass along some of those increased costs on the menu board. So this is one of the political choices that Democrats in the state legislative majority have ended up making that impact both the restaurant owner operator and the customer. And unfortunately, I just don't think a lot of times the customers end up realizing that this is something that they're paying for, whether it's at the restaurant or at the grocery store. In Olympia, Anthony, talking to Anthony Antone, president of the Washington Hospitality Association, about the costs for customers to go and eat out in the state of Washington. And in Olympia, they just had this vote a week ago. They called it Proposition 1, but it was also referred to as the Workers' Bill of Rights. And it essentially mirrored a lot of things that have passed in the city of Seattle, like a higher minimum wage, advanced scheduling requirements for the employees. You can't do a closing night shift and then do an opening morning shift the next morning, because that's not enough time to sleep in and get enough rest, paid leave, things like that. And in Olympia, the voters rejected this. So that would seem to tell me that voters in Olympia realized, you know what, Olympia doesn't need a high minimum wage the way that Seattle does. The state minimum wage will be enough. What did you think when you saw that the Olympia voters rejected that workers' minimum wage? Because that's going to have a big impact on restaurants.
I You know, I was really surprised. Olympia is one of the most progressive cities in our state when you look at just where election numbers and everything come out of. So I am sure a lot of people thought this would be a slam dunk and a layup for the people who were promoting this. And yet what we saw starting in 2024 is customers really started to say, time out. I'm really starting to push back on higher prices and more customer complaints, more and more concerns, more and more customer behavior change around how much can I afford? And I think that was one of the drivers is people saying, okay, we get it, but we already have one of the state's highest minimum wages. Well, we have the highest state minimum wage in the country by a good margin. And we already have these things, and how much more can my family afford to pay? But I think from an operator standpoint, what's really scary about the Tacoma version and the Olympia version was this requirement that anyone inside 2 weeks had to be paid a time and a half. So one of the things our workers love about our industry is the ability to be flexible, that we have a lot of students, and they're like, hey, I want to study for a test. Can I swap a shift? Can I change? And this would have eliminated the operator's ability to give our team members flexibility. And a lot of the things that when you look at our employee surveys, it's the number one benefit of our industry is the flexibility. Is if I need to swap out on a Friday, I can. And it's great. And my employer and my other coworkers like it. Or if I want to pick up a shift because my plan changed, I can. And the Olympia version with their restrictive scheduling would have eliminated that. And that was one of the major concerns for the operator, because we employ a workforce who really does enjoy that flexibility.
Yeah, that's a big part of who ends up working in so many of these restaurants. It is young people a lot of times that are just out of school or still in school and trying to juggle other things that they've got going on, if it's starting that career that they went to school for or if they're just trying to finish up classes. Anthony Antone with the Washington Hospitality Association. Final question. One of the items included in your report is the comments about from a Seattle restaurant owner that laments how the affordability impacts for his restaurant. It changes the clientele. It used to be families with kids would come in, and he does not see that amongst his customer base anymore. And now it's usually a professional class that's coming in. This is a restaurant owner in Seattle. And you ended up pointing out that the restaurant owner in Seattle didn't want to divulge the name of the restaurant, the name of the owner, and because of the backlash that seems to be frequent in Seattle for people that complain about some of the regulatory impact on restaurant owners or small business owners. And we saw some of this in Seattle with the $15 minimum wage battle. And restaurant owners that were saying, hey, 15 bucks, that's too expensive. They would get bullied, intimidated, in some cases threatened, and it sometimes turns into negative reviews on Yelp. So talk to me a little bit about why there's this reluctance for some restaurant owners to speak out a little bit more vocally and specifically because they're concerned about the backlash that they're going to receive from the activists that want to jack up these costs on businesses in, say, Seattle.
Yeah, well, to be clear, what Seattle was expressing concerns about the $21 minimum wage, and the big jump that small operators saw in this last pushback to jump all the way up to 21 was a big concern, and so the operators that said, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this, I don't know how I'm going to manage it, I'm already struggling. The activists organized group attacks on their Yelp and on other areas and really drew their ratings down. And for an operator, that's a true six-month impact to overcome.
And that's one of the first places people will check. When my wife and I are out and about, like, oh, you know, let's see if we can find a Mexican place or an Italian place here, and we do that search and you start to see those ratings, that's a big impact on a quick search if you're not familiar with an area.
Exactly. And so operators are like, well, it's clear that the opposite side doesn't want to hear the truth. They're not for free speech. And I just need to buckle down and figure out how to survive. And putting myself out there to talk about the real world is just too risky when I'm already at the nation's lowest margin, and I don't know how I'm going to make payroll next month.
It's a very frustrating situation. Unfortunately, it's emblematic of stuff that we've talked about off and on for a few years in Seattle about this bullying activism, politically connected. And if you disagree, I'm going to try and shut you down and intimidate you to quiet down and not say anything critical of these policies that have been put in place. Washington Hospitality President Anthony Antone joining me here on The Morning Ride. Thank you for coming on to talk about the statistics that show Washington has the highest amongst the lower 48 contiguous states for customers when they go out to eat at restaurants. It's all connected to the political regulatory environment for businesses and small businesses like restaurants here in the state of Washington. Anthony, good to have you with us here on The Morning Ride. We'll check in soon on other news issues, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Anthony Antone, Washington Hospitality Association, taking time to talk to us here on The Morning Ride.